نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بسم
الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, our lecture tonight is a completion to what we have talked about the last time, and it was about the prostration during recitation,
or the recitation prostration. ثم يكبر للرفع من السجود، وهذا يسمى سجود التلاوة ولا تشهد فيه.
The recitation prostration is the kind of prostration that you do it while you are reading or reciting Quran, and you came across a verse of prostration or an ayah of prostration. And the ayah of prostration is some position in the Holy Quran in which an ayah is underlying, is overlying, there is a line over it. And in that case, it is preferable for you, it's recommended for you to do takbir and to go down for prostration.
And قال فعن نافع عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ علينا القرآن فإذا مر بالسجدة كبر وسجد
recitation prostration.
رواه أبو داود والبيهقي والحاكم قال صحيح على شرط الشيخين. وقال أبو داود قال عبد الرزاق وكان الثوري يعجبه هذا الحديث. وقال أبو داود يعجبه لأنه كبر. وقال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه إذا قرأت سجدة فكبر واسجد وإذا رفعت رأسك فكبر. هنا الحديث عن التكبير لسجود التلاوة، عن التكبير لسجود التلاوة، المذهب الذي ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله، وهو استحباب التكبير للنزول والتكبير للرفع في سجود التلاوة في الصلاة وخارج الصلاة، هو مذهب جمهور الفقهاء. جمهور الفقهاء قالوا المستحب في سجود التلاوة أن يقول الله أكبر قبل السجود،
knowledge agree all together unanimously that
in the prostration you say Allahu Akbar before you go for prostration or recitation,
and after you do it you do also takbir.
And this is the direction, or this is the opinion of the majority.
And the evidence here is that there is an authentic narration for a hadith in which Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned that if the Prophet ﷺ would come across an ayah or a verse that mentions sajda, or there is a sajda of tilawa or recitation, prostration on it, he would do takbir and then make prostration.
قبل سجود التلاوة وعند الرفع من سجود التلاوة في غير الصلاة عن أبي قلابة وعن محمد بن سيرين.
If you are saying your prayer and then you came across and you are reciting the Quran and then you came across one verse that has sajda or prostration, but what if you are just reciting the Quran not inside the prayer, do you have to do takbir as well?
وبالنسبة لمذاهب الفقهاء
that depends on the directions of the
different schools. كما ذكرنا الجمهور على هذا. و
the majority of scholars agree that you also do takbir. But Imam Abu Hanifa goes for an opinion saying that you are not supposed to do the takbir. Imam Malik goes for an opinion saying that you do takbir if you are saying the prayer, you do not do takbir if you are reciting Quran and came across an ayah of sajda outside the prayer.
ولكن أخذ في الصلاة بعموم حديث كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكبر في كل رفع وخفض في الصلاة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يكبر في كل رفع وخفض، وهذا يدل على
المسؤولية كل رفع في الصلاة وخفض في الصلاة. Each time he rises or he goes down in a prayer, either for bowing down or coming up from sujood or whatever, each time he goes down or he goes up, he does
يقول يعني أن التكبير استحب في النزول ولا يستحب.
Also went for an opinion saying that takbir is more preferable when you go up or you rise up, but not preferable when you bow down. So anyway, takbir
الأمر فيها واسع وإن كان
الأولى
أن يكبر الإنسان إذا كان في الصلاة أن يكبر لعموم الأحاديث التي فيها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يكبر في كل رفع المخرج كان يكبر في كل رفع المخرج
في كل رفع المخرج
وأما خارج الصلاة فالأمر في هذا واسع أن يقتدي بهؤلاء السابعين الذين
كبروا التابعين أو followers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by doing التكبير when you are going down for prostration of recitation or not
أيضا إيه لا حرج فيها.
الأمر في whatever you choose.
الصلاة ينبغي أن يحافظ على التكبير للنزول والتكبير للرفع.
So inside the prayer, the preferable thing here inside the prayer, if you're going down for sajda or for recitation prostration, you do takbir. If you and you, when you go up from it, also you do takbir. But outside the prayer, it's up to you. It's your choice. If you want to do takbir or not. Okay, what's the advantage or virtue of
رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قرأ ابن آدم سجدة فسجد اعتزل الشيطان يبكي يقول يا ويله أمر بالسجود فسجد فله الجنة
I was ordered to prostrate وأمرت
بالسجود فعصيت فلي
النار
رواه أحمد ومسلم وابن ماجه.
That was narrated by
Ahmad. طيب في هذا الحديث من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
In that hadith here,
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قرأ ابن آدم سجدة
that if you come across
اعتزل الشيطان يبكي. اعتزل يبكي إذا رأى الإنسان إيه
the Satan
لسجود التلاوة.
Away from you and he cries.
يقول يا ويله. هو طبعا هنا
قصد
أن الشيطان يقول يا ويلي أو يا ويلك
يعني
يقول عن نفسه يا ويلي ولكن الراوي يعني تأدبت بالحديث قال إيه يقول الشيطان يا ويله
But I was ordered to prostrate, but I didn't obey. I disobeyed. And that just referring to his story when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to prostrate for Adam, but he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, in that hadith, the Prophet says that if the son of Adam recites an ayah of prostration and prostrates, the Satan departs from him and cries, oh woo, he was ordered to prostrate and he did. So for him in paradise, I was ordered to prostrate and I disobeyed.
For إن آدم يقرأ آية السجدة فيخر ساجدا لرب العالمين تبارك وتعالى. وكذلك مما يدخل في فضل سجود التلاوة عموم الأحاديث التي في فضل السجود.
One advantage for the prostration recitation of recitation is the same thing when we talk about the advantage of generally about prostration. Every prostration you do, whatever the kind of prostration, if it is recitation prostration or even if it is a prostration beside the prayer, any kind of prostration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count it for you so that you he removes one bad deed from your record and adds one good deed.
Every prostration that you do,
whatever the kind of prostration,
and also the Prophet says
the closest position in which you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you are in your prostration. You are closest to your Lord, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are in the prostration. This is why it's also always preferred to do a lot of supplication in the prostration.
كون الشيطان يحسد المسلم على أنه أمر بالسجود فسجد.
So again, why does the Satan cry?
ذهب جمهور العلماء إلى أن سجود التلاوة سنة للقارئ ذهب جمهور العلماء إلى أن سجود التلاوة سنة للقارئ والمستمع لما رواه البخاري عن عمر رضي الله عنه أنه قرأ على المنبر يوم الجمعة سورة النحل حتى جاء السجدة فنزل وسجد وسجد الناس حتى إذا كانت الجمعة قابلة قرأ بها
حتى
إذا جاء السجدة قال يا أيها الناس إنا لم نؤمر بالسجود يعني لم نؤمر به أمر إيجاب وأمر
البخاري تحكيم
فمن سجد فقد أصاب ومن لم يسجد فلا إثم عليه لفظ إن الله لم يفرض علينا السجود إلا أن نشاء
This is in one Friday. On one Friday, until he came to the
ayah
of sajda,
and then he descended from the pulp
and prostrated along with the people. On the next Friday, he recited the same. And when he came to the ayah of prostration, he said, "O people, we have not been ordered to prostrate. However, thus so has acted correctly. However, whoever does so has acted correctly." While there is no sin upon one who does not do so, in another narration it is stated that Allah has not forced upon us the sajda, but if one wishes to do so, he may make a prostration.
Here, Sheikh says,
some people will get astonished that Umar was reciting Quran on the palm on the speech of Friday. How come? Isn't that supposed to be a speech?
Sheikh
says no. I mean, it's not a compulsory that should be a speech. It could be also Quran. It could be also Quran recitation. For example, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite Surah Qaf on many occasions over the pulp on Friday speech instead of making the speech. To the extent that one of the nomads, a woman of the nomads, said that I didn't keep my heart Surah Qaf except from the Prophet when he used to recite it every Friday on many Fridays on the Jum'ah. So here the story is Umar bin Khattab was reciting Surah Al-Nahl on the pulp on Friday speech. Friday's speech was reciting Surah Al-Nahl, and then he came across the ayah of Sajda, and then he went down the pulp and he prostrated, and the people prostrated after him.
So
in the next Jum'ah he recited the same
surah
and the same verses. And Sheikh here says, why would he do that? He recites the same verses and the same surah over and over again in the next Friday. Why would he do that? He was doing that to remind people. He had some target in his mind. He was referring to something and he wanted to remind people about it. Something that is in Surah Al-Nahl, because we know that every surah, every verse of Quran carries deep meaning into it. So probably he was reciting the same surah again and over and over again to remind people about something inside that surah. So in the next Friday they did not prostrate. He said, "O people, we prostrated already last time. So whoever wants to do so, let him do so. Whoever doesn't want to do so, it's up to him." Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said that it is wajib or it is compulsory. And if you didn't do it, you get a bad deed. And what's the evidence of Imam Abu Hanifa? The evidence of Imam Abu Hanifa is that hadith that we have come across in which the Prophet
السجده قال الشيطان ايه يا ويله امر ابن ادم بالسجود امر ابن ادم بالسجود معناها سجود التلاوه يعني مامور به فيكون واجبا
لكن الادله
التي يعني
who unto me the son of Adam was ordered and underlined the word ordered to prostrate, that he prostrated, so paradise is for him, and I was ordered to prostrate, so I did not prostrate, so the hellfire is for me. So underline the word ordered, so that means it is compulsory according to Imam Abu Hanifa. This is the evidence of Imam Abu Hanifa.
ما ذهب إليه الجمهور ما رواه الجماعة إلا ابن ماجه.
The majority of the scholars went for an opinion saying that it is not compulsory. It is only a choice.
ابن ماجه. روى عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال
It was narrated قرأت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والنجم فلم يسجد في النجم. And Surah Al-Najm has a prostration verse and on it, but the Prophet did not prostrate.
ويؤيده ما رواه البزار والدارقطني عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سجد في سورة النجم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
قال
recited النجم, سورة النجم, and prostrated, and the companions prostrated with him. So and once he did not do that, so that gives an evidence according to the majority of the scholars that it is a choice, it is not compulsory.
وزيد بن ثابت
زيد بن ثابت
الذين ختموا القرآن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى القرآن كله وعلى
finish the Holy Quran before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, recite the whole Holy Quran before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Sayyid ibn Thabit
said that he recited Surah Al-Najm before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but the Prophet did not do the prostration.
لماذا لم يسجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سورة النجم؟
Why didn't the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prostrate?
لأنه جاء في أحاديث أخرى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
Why didn't the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prostrate in that time? Because in some other hadith was narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prostrated in the same position of Surah Al-Najm. So why didn't he prostrate when Zayd ibn Thabit recited in front of him? He did not do that to give us an evidence that it is permissible not to do so. It is permissible not to do so, and there is no harm if you leave the recitation prostration when you listen to or come across a verse that includes a prostration in
order. So it is a choice. The Prophet didn't do it once to show the people that it is a choice. فسجد فيها وسجد من كان معه.
So it was narrated by Abu Huraira that the Prophet recited Surah Al-Najm and prostrated, and he prostrated with him. Ibn Mas'ud moreover reported that the Prophet recited Surah Al-Najm and prostrated, and all the people with him prostrated except one old man from Quraysh who simply lifted some pebbles on dirt or dirt to his forehead and said, that is sufficient for me.
سورة النجم في مجلس
was in a vision in a مجلس or a vision
مجموعة من المشركين
and that vision that vision was some people that مشركين disbelievers
رضي الله عنهم كانوا
and some from the companions also around Kaaba. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recited Surah النجم سورة النجم
فالمشركون أخذتهم
so the مشركين or the disbelievers
هيبة القرآن رغم كفرهم وشركهم لكن روعة القرآن هيبة القرآن جعلتهم يبصقون رغم العداوة الذي يكنونها للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنصتوا لتلاوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
القرآن is not light, it is heavy. When someone listens to it and really understands what does it mean, it gets you to fear. It gets you to fear from Allah, it gets you to fear from whatever is mentioned on it.
So سجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came across
the verse that included prostration, he prostrated, and everybody around prostrated, even the disbelievers.
لما سجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه في ختام هذه السورة الكريمة. غير أن شيخا من قريش رجل من قريش من زعمائه من كان حاضر في هذا المجلس منعه الكبر.
Except for one old man from Quraysh, he used to be a little arrogant. And he was a disbeliever and he was arrogant. And he thought, okay, I'm not going to prostrate.
يعني يفتخرون بشموخ الأنف وعلو الأنف.
Be proud of their
يعتبرون يعني وضع
be proud of their noses.
And
they used to raise their noses high when they want to indicate their greatness and their
سبحانه وتعالى وأنه وضع يعني أشمخ شيء فيه وضعه في التراب ووضعه على الأرض يعني متزللا لله سبحانه وتعالى
مضرا بعبوديته لله سبحانه وتعالى كان المشركون أن يأنفون لدرجة أن
رجلا من المشركين
humbleness, because you have to be humble in front of your or before your God, your Lord, the one who created you.
So here,
that man out of arrogance, he did not prostrate, and he just put some sand or dust on pebbles on his forehead maybe to make them, the people think that he did the prostration, maybe just to tell the people that I wouldn't do so.
قال لا خير في دين لا ركوع فيه. ما يقبل منك إيه إسلام
بدون
أن تقضى على الله سبحانه وتعالى. فهذا الرجل من المشركين يعني إيه تكبر
في
الحديث الذي معنا لما قرأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سورة النجم وقرأ آية السجدة تكبر هذا الرجل عن السجود لكن إيه مجاراة لمن حوله فأخذ إيه كفا من حسن وقراب ورفعه إلى
ألف
يعني رفعه إلى ألف يجعله إيه مسوحه يعني بدلا من أن يخر ساجدا لله. يقول ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه فلقد رأيته بعد قتل كافرا رواه البخاري ومسلم. هذا الرجل منعه الكبر وصده عن الإسلام وقتل كافرا.
طيب
قال مواضع السجود مواضع السجود قال مواضع السجود في القرآن 15 موضعا مواضع السجود في القرآن 15 موضعا. فعن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقرأه 15 سجدة في القرآن.
recited 15 verses of prostration in the Holy Quran.
15 سجدة في القرآن.
The مفصل
منها ثلاث في المفصل وفي الحج سجدتان.
Of the Holy Quran.
رواه أبو داود وابن ماجه والحاكم
والدارقطني
والنسائي والنووي. فعمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه ذكر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقرأه 15 سجدة في القرآن الكريم منها ثلاث في المفصل والمفصل هو الحزب السابع من أحزاب القرآن الكريم ويبدأ من سورة قاف وينتهي بسورة الناس وذلك لأن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ثبت عنهم أنهم كانوا يحزبون القرآن سبعة أحزاب. تقسيم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم قبل التقسيم المعروف الآن تقسيم القرآن إلى 30 جزءا هذا حصل بعد الحجاج بن يوسف الثقفي. الحجاج بن يوسف الثقفي هو اللي قسم القرآن إلى 30 جزءا وكل جزء إلى 8 أرباع بغرض ايه التسهيل على الائمه في رمضان وكذا عشان يقرا ايه 30 جزء كل يوم جزء وكذا. هذا فعله الحجاج بن يوسف ايه الثقفي لكن
الصحابه رضي الله عنهم ده هو القران
في 30 بارت ما كان القران الحجاج بن يوسف 30 جزء من جزء الى
وين هي واز وكذا هي ديفايدد ذا هولي قران في 30
انما كانوا يحزبون القران الى سبعه احزاب
او ذا ريسايترز او هو ريسايت قران
الحزب الاول في
رمضان
ايه 30 سوره
يعني بعد ده هو القران في
30 سوره
وبعد بعد ده ريسايترز
البقره وآل عمران والنساء
يسمونه
الحزب الاول من
احزاب القران
سوره ايه الفاتحه والبقره وآل
عمران
والحزب الثاني خمس سور
البقره الفاتحه البقره آل عمران
والنساء والاعراف
and the second starts from المائدة الأنعام
والأعراف
الأعراف
والتوبة
الأنفال
التوبة خمس سور وبعدين الحزب الثالث
and the third سبع one the third part
يبدأ يعني إيه وهكذا من سورة يونس إيه
from سورة يونس
تعد إيه سبع سور بعد الحزب الرابع تسع سور الحزب الخامس 11 سورة الحزب السادس 13 سورة الحزب السادس هذا ينتهي عند سورة الحجرات
سورة الحجرات آخر سورة في الحزب الحجرات
ثم الحزب السابع هو حزب المفصل
يسمونه
الحزب المفصل اللي هو الحزب الأخير من أحزاب القرآن الكريم يبدأ من سورة قاف إلى آخر القرآن يسمونه الحزب السابع من أحزاب القرآن الكريم ويسمى أيضا حزب المفصل وسمي بذلك لكثرة الفواصل بين سوره
لأنه كان هذا الحزب
يعني عدد الصور كبير وكثير الفواصل
بين الصور
كثرة الفواصل هذه يعني حتى هي وجه من وجوه بلاغة القرآن الكريم كثرة الفواصل في سورة القرآن وجه من وجوه بلاغة القرآن الكريم إذا قرأ الختمة ووصل إلى نهايته فكثرة هذه الفواصل مشعرة ومجنة بقرب ختام القرآن الكريم أكثر الصور في ختام أدعية وتضرع اتهام الله سبحانه وتعالى مع قصص الآيات وكثرة الفواصل يكون مزنة بقرب نهاية القرآن الكريم وهذا يعني وجه من وجوه بلاغة الكتاب
العظيم.
هذا الحزب يسمى حزب المفصل لكثرة الفواصل فيه. عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه قال إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سجد ثلاث سجدات في المفصل ما هي السجدات الثلاثة في حزب المفصل من قاف إلى نهاية القرآن الكريم عندنا إيه سورة النجم هذه واحدة وبعدين سورة الشقاق وسورة العلق النجم والشقاق والعلق هذه ثلاث سجدات
these are the three conditions.
ومر بنا حديث كثيرة يعني فيها مثلا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ بطوال المفصل أو بقصار المفصل أو بأواسط المفصل وكذا اللي هو إيه هذا الحزب الأخير. طيب السجدات التي جاءت في حديث عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه 15 إيه سجدة، والشيخ الألباني رحمه الله قال يعني هذه السجدات الإيه 15 كلها لها إيه ما يشهد لصحتها، بالإضافة إلى حديث إيه حديث عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه، كل حديث يعني إن كان إيه تكلم بعض العلماء في سنده أو كذا، لكن لا توجد سجدة في هذا الحديث إلا ولها أدلة أخرى صحيحة كثيرة.
Every سجدة هي على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم has evidence from other hadiths that supports
كلها إيه منصوص عليها في أحاديث صحيحة ثابتة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن صحابته رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم كم يسجدون في هذه السجدة. وذكر آيات السجدة أول سجدة في القرآن هي في سورة الأعراف قول الله عز وجل إن الذين عند ربك لا يستكبرون عن عبادتك إلى آخر الآية،
وآية
السجدة الثانية في سورة الرعد ولله يسجد من في السماوات والأرض الآية، وبعدين السجدة الثالثة في سورة النحل ولله يسجد ما في السماوات والأرض من دابة
الآية،
ثم في سورة الإسراء قل آمنوا به أو لا تؤمنوا إلى آخر
the fifth one is in Surah Maryam.
بعد ذلك في سورة مريم إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا شددا وبكيا، ثم السجدة الثالثة في سورة الحج،
and the eighth is in Surah Al-Baqarah.
ألم تر أن الله يسجد له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض، ثم السجدة الثانية في سورة الحج. السجدة الثانية في سورة الحج ذكر الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله أنه وردت فيها آثار موقوفة عن جمع كبير من الصحابة رضي الله عنه أنهم كانوا يسجدون في السجدة الثانية في
سورة
الحج. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم، ثم في سورة الفرقان وإذا قيل لهم اسجدوا للرحمن، ثم في سورة النمل ألا يسجدوا لله الذي يخرج الخبأ في السماوات والأرض، ثم في سورة السجدة إنما يؤمن بآياتنا الذين إذا ذكروا بها خروا سجدا، ثم في سورة صاد وظن داود أنما فتناه فاستغفر ربه وخر راكعا وأناب. بعد ذلك في سورة فصلة ومن آيات الليل والنهار والشمس للشمس ولا للقمر إلى آخر الآية، ثم في سورة النجم تسجدوا لله واعبدوا، ثم في سورة الانشقاق وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون، ثم في سورة العلق واسجد واقترب. وبالنسبة لسجدة سورة صاد قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صاد ليست من عزائم السجود، صاد ليست من عزائم السجود يعني سجد صاد إيه ليست السجود فيها متأكدا كتأكده في السور الأخرى، ولكنها سجد يعني يدل على أنها يسجد فيها ولكنها ليست إيه يعني من عزائم السجود يعني من السور التي يتحسس السجود فيها. وجاء في حديث أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه قال قرأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على المنبر سورة صاد، قرأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
حديث إن وش the صلى
فلما بلغ السجدة نزل وسجد وسجد الناس معه. فلما كان يوم آخر قرأها فلما بلغ السجدة تهيأ الناس للسجود أو تشرف الناس للسجود، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما هي توبة نبي ولكني رأيتكم
يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not prostrate and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said only a repentance of the Prophet but I just found you getting ready for prostration so he went down prostrated and the people prostrated behind him.
الحديث يعني فيه أيضا إيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ سورة الصاد على المنبر مرتين، وفي المرة الثانية أراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن لا يسجد ولكن وجد الناس قد تهيأوا للسجود فنزل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إيه وسجد. وفي حديث آخر أيضا أنه قال إيه سجدها داود توبة ونحن نسجدها شكرا،
in another hadith, because in that surah, Dawood or the Prophet David or Dawood prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is mentioned in that surah, in Surah Sad. So the Prophet said that we prostrated, Dawood prostrated to pain, and we prostrated to thank Allah.
بنبي الله داود عليه السلام كتب أهل الكتاب ذكروا فيها إيه حكايات لا
many of the Christians and the Jews narrated or
معصية التي سجد منها داود عليه السلام بسبب
tales and stories about the bad deeds that made David prostrate, and these are all fake stories. Some in the Bible, and sometimes also in the deviated Torah, they say that Dawood or Prophet David saw a woman and he liked her, and Dawood had 99 wives, so he wanted to get married that one so that they become 100. So, but he knew that this woman is married, so he sent her husband to jihad or to a war as a commander in a war, so that he would get killed, and he gave him the banner to carry, and it was well known that that who carries the banner is no way killed, he should be killed. And then he was killed in that war, and then Dawood alayhi salam repented to Allah by prostration, but this is all a fake story. Nothing of that happened. The real story is that the real story why Dawood prostrated is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test Dawood. So he sent two angels to him. And these two angels came in an image or a picture of two humans, and they wanted to test Dawood.
So
they just came into the room in which Dawood is in, and they asked Dawood questions. They told him that we are both in a fight, so judge between us. So the story was that these two persons were angels, actually. But what happened is that they came into a picture of humans, and they complained to Dawood from each other. One of them told Dawood that this is my brother, he has 99 sheep, and I have only one sheep, and he wants to take my sheep to join his sheep to be 100. So Dawood said, oh, he has oppressed you, or he has been unfair to you by asking your sheep to his sheep. So these two persons went into his room from over the fence, and he was scared from that. So he said, they said, don't be afraid. We are two brothers, we are two adversaries that we became into a fight. So judge between us. Dawood had three departments in his house. A department for worship, a department for living with his people, with his wives, and the department or a place to meet the people. So he was in a part where he should worship. So he closed the doors on him, but these two persons went over the fence, climbed the fence, and they went down and they entered on Dawood while he was worshiping. So these actually were two angels. And the angels have the feature and the ability to come in a picture of humans, to come in whatever picture they want, or they have the ability in fact to come into the picture of humans.
So
they came into a picture of humans and complained to Dawood, and they said that we are two adversaries, and we have one problem between us. And so he listened to one of them. One of them told him that this is my brother, he has 99 sheep, and I have only one sheep. And he told me, I want to take this one sheep to my 99 sheep to become 100. So Dawood just rushed into an opinion.
When he found that this one has 99 and the other has only one, he thought, okay, 99 and 1, then the one who has the one only should be the one who is oppressed, or should be the one who is complaining because something unfair practiced towards him. So he said, no, he has been unfair to you by asking this one sheep from you. And there are a lot of people who get in a business with each other, they become unfair to each other. So Dawood rushed into an opinion without listening to the other one. He figured out just because the one who complained to him, the person who complained to him, has one sheep and the other one has 99, so he said straightforward, he said, okay, the one who has the 99 is the bad one, and the one who has the one sheep is the good one. And straightforward, he said, the one who has the only one sheep should be the one who is oppressed.
إذا كان بينك وبين أحد أي محبة وأردت أن يستمر المواد المحبة لا تدخل معه في مصاهرة ولا في
تجارة تجد
العداوات
وهذا
في رسالة يعني عظيمة من حسن اسمها إيه تهذيب
النفوس هذه
رسالة
أدبها في آخر عمر رحمه الله قبل وفاته كل
عبارة عن نصائح يعني
تجربتي في الحياة يعني لو كان من ضمن يعني النصائح لكن طبعا يعني تطبقها يعني
يعني إذا كان
الإمام ابن حزم himself said one very nice wisdom that if you love someone then do not marry from his family and do not go into business with him because these are two things that can really get you in trouble with him if any dispute happens.
بنتيه لعثمان واحدة تلو الأخرى وزوج بنته لعلي رضي الله عنه. الصحابة المقربين من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أراد أن يزيد يعني التقارب والتآلف بالمصاهرة، لكن يعني عامة الناس عامة الناس يعني تكون المصاهرة سببا في المشاكل يعني، وكذلك الاشتراك في التجارة والمعاملات.
So sharing in a business
فالمهم يعني قال الله تعالى قليل ما هم
sometimes bring the two families يعني or the two partners in troubles if the hearts are not very much داود
عليه السلام
anyways coming back to the story يعني داود peace be upon him he rushed into the opinion and Allah سبحانه وتعالى blamed him for that. So داود figured out that he did something very wrong and that Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave him the ability to arbitrate or to be an arbiter or a judge, but he did not arbitrate the right way. He did not give the right opinion. He did not give the right judgment. And he was just about to be unfair to someone, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a judge on the earth. Because he was a prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a judge on the earth. And he wanted to test him, but he failed the test. So when he figured out
that
he made something very wrong, he
وهنا خرر راكعا
استغفر الله يعني asked for forgiveness he thought the forgiveness of Allah and he went down for prostration this is the story of the prostration of Dawood not like the Christians and the Jews say the Christians say the Jews in the debated books they say that he saw a woman and he liked that woman and then he wanted to marry that woman and then he sent her he found out that she has a husband he sent her husband in the war and he made him carry the banner that was so that he gets killed and when he got killed he went to marry the woman and then he prostrated because he wanted to make repentance because he figured out he was wrong. That's all fake stories. He's a prophet. A prophet, you know what a prophet means, he's a prophet, and you know, he is not supposed to fall into such policies, he's a prophet.
وقال الشوكاني ليس في أحاديث سجود التلاوة
so here, لا يدل على اعتبار أن يكون السائل متوضئا
وقد كان يسجد معه صلى الله عليه وسلم من حضر تلاوته ولم ينقل
either the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or people who attend the recitation with him they used together to prostrate. So the question here if the recitation is not in the prayer is not in the prayer do we need to be on wudu do we need to have ablution or wudu
here it is
a controversy. Some of the scholars say or taken evidence with the hadith from which in which the Prophet was reciting Surah Al-Najm around Kaaba, and some of the mushrik or the disbelievers listened to him, and fearingly they out of fear they prostrated. So these were even disbelievers, not only not having ablution, but even disbelievers. But some scholars went for the opposite opinion, saying that the prostration is a part of the prayer, and it is required to be on ablution so that you prostrate. But the other party replied again and told them, okay, if you consider the prostration a part of the prayer, why don't you consider reciting Surah Al-Fatiha as a part of the prayer? You can right now, all of you, recite Surah Al-Fatiha without wudu. Do you need wudu to recite Surah Al-Fatiha? No, you can recite Surah Al-Fatiha without wudu. So the evidence of those people who claim that you don't need an ablution for prostration is that these disbelievers prostrated without wudu and even without Islam. And also that Surah Al-Fatiha is a part and a parcel of your prayer, and it's a compulsory part of your prayer, and so you can recite it without wudu. So also when the Prophet prostrated, a lot of people prostrated behind him, and it is very much probable that some of these people were not having ablution or wudu, because when hundreds of people or dozens or dozens of people around the Prophet prostrated, you cannot assume that 100% of these people were having ablution. Also, it was narrated that Umar
said that
no one should prostrate unless he is tahir or clean. That should not be taken in a sense that he should have an ablution. Probably he means he should be clean by referring to the fact that he should not be junub. He should not be junub. No junaba.
Ibn Umar
who said that.
على غير طهارة. فقيل إنه سجد على غير طهارة يعني إيه للضرورة أو قصد على غير طهارة يعني يسجد الإنسان إذا كان محدثا حدثا أصغر لكن لا يسجد على غير الطهارة إذا كان محدثا حدثا أكبر.
So what was يعني what's إن الأولى في حالة الخيار الإنسان يتوقف reference here
يعني لا شك أن الإنسان إذا خرج من الخلاف هناك إيه دائما قاعدة الخروج من الخلاف
if you want to go out or exit from this controversy
مستحب يعني الأولى
it is better for you. This is يعني a Sharia rule here. It's a very nice rule. Sharia rule here. Whenever there is a controversy among the scholars, cut this controversy. Avoid it. Avoid it. Nullify it. How can you nullify it? By avoiding it. Like there is a controversy, should you go for ablution or not? So it is better to go for ablution. Because if you go for ablution before doing the prostration recitation, that means that you are avoiding the controversy. And this is the best.
طيب هنا بالنسبة لطهارة الثياب وطهارة المكان
okay, what about the cleanness هذا من ضمن شروط صحة الصلاة and the cleanness of your
طهارة البدن وطهارة مكان الصلاة
we came across this point before we said that for your prayer to be correct the place in which you pray should be clean and your clothes should be clean what about the prostration of recitation or سجدة التلاوة
استقبال القبلة وستر العورة
What about the conditions for the prayer? Should you face the Qibla? Should you cover yourself?
Yes.
Many of the scholars said that you should, many or the majority of the scholars said that you, it's preferable for you to face the Qibla and in a clean place and all the conditions of prayer have to be present in that situation. But the scholars agreed on the same opinion. Some of the scholars said that you can pray, you can prostrate in the Sajda Tilawa towards direction which is not the Qibla direction or direction of Kaaba.
أنه كان يقرأ السجدة ثم يسجد وهو على غير وضوء إلى غير القبلة وهو يمشي يومئ إيماء. وأبو عبد الرحمن السلمي هذا من كبار التابعين وكبار
أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي one of the major followers one of the great followers
يعني قرأ
was narrated that
على عثمان he used عفان رضي to
he used to be a friend of Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه Zayd ibn Thabit and all these great companions
يعني ختم القرآن خمس ختمات على كل واحد من
recited the Holy Quran five times in front of the four these great companions Uthman ibn Affan and Zayd ibn Thabit and these great companions
so 40 سنة من أيام خلافة عثمان رضي الله عنه هو يقرأ الناس القرآن في مسجد الكوفة من أيام خلافة عثمان إلى
أن
ولي الحجاج بن يوسف أو أن ولي الحجاج بن يوسف اعتزل الإقراء يعني
from the time of Uthman ibn Affan till Hajjaj ibn Yusuf became the ruler
ورحمه الله كان من علماء التابعين الكبار فكان أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي
So Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Sulami, one of the great followers, used to recite the Holy Quran, and if
there is a verse for prostration,
he would just nod. And this is something that can give us an evidence that if you are crossing by or walking by a street or something, and that usually actually doesn't happen here, but in the Muslim countries, when you walk in many places, you can hear or listen to Quran, because in many of the shops, in many of the malls, in many of the shopping centers, you can listen to many people raising the voice or loudly recite Quran or the cassettes or the cassette player, the Quran recitation isn't there. So if you come across this and listen to the Holy Quran, should you prostrate in your place? No, you can also even nod, only nod with your head, nod. Okay, now we come to a new topic. What about the supplications during the prostration? Here, whoever makes prostration may supplicate whatever he wishes. There is nothing authentic from the Prophet ﷺ on this point except for the hadith from Aisha who said that when the Prophet ﷺ made sajda of the Quranic recital, he would say, I have prostrated my face to the one who created it and brought forth its hearing and see by his might and power. Blessed be Allah, the best of creators. Blessed be Allah, the best of creators.
رواه الخمسة إلا ابن ماجة الخمسة اللي هم أصحاب السنن الأربعة والإمام أحمد أصحاب السنن الأربعة والإمام أحمد قل رواه الخمسة إلا ابن ماجة فرواه إيه هذا الحديث قد ورواه الحاكم وصححه الترمذي وابن السكن وقال في آخره إيه ثلاثة وهذا الدعاء ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في السجود عموما هذا الدعاء ليس خاصا بسجود التلاوة وإنما هو إيه ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عموما في السجود أنه كان إيه أحيانا يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في سجوده سواء في سجود التلاوة أو سجود الصلاة يعني
سجود
عامة يقول سجد وجهي لله خلقه وصوره وشفه سمعه وبصره
And if you would say, I have prostrated my face to the one who created it and brought forth its hearing and seeing by his might and power, blessed be Allah, the best of creators.
كذلك أيضا إذا كان في غير الصلاة أيضا يقول سبحان ربي الأعلى لأن هذا ذكر
so you يعني also can say سبحان ربي الأعلى
يعني جميع
glory be to Allah the Almighty سبحان ربي الأعلى
طيب قال السجود في الصلاة قال يجوز للإمام والمنفرد أن يقرأ آية السجدة في الصلاة الجهرية والسرية
Okay, what about prostration of recitals during the prayer while you are in the prayer, saying the prayer? It is allowed for the imam or the one praying individually to recite the verse of sajda or prostration during the prayer. Even if the recital is audible means loud or inaudible, which means secret,
كانوا يسمون صلاة المغرب يسمونها صلاة العشاء.
And he should prostrate during the prayer after reading such verse.
قال إيه لا تغلبنكم الأعراب على اسم صلاتكم. خلوش الأعراب إيه يعني يغلبونكم على اسم الصلاة ويجعلونكم إيه تغيرون اسمها. هي العشاء في كتاب الله تعالى. الله تعالى سمى الصلاة إيه الأخيرة سمى صلاة العشاء وليست إيه صلاة العتمة. فقال العلماء يعني جمعا بين هذا وبين بعض الأحاديث التي جاء فيها. تسمية صلاة العشاء صلاة العتمة قالوا إيه
is that the nomads around the Medina used
هناك احتمال الاحتمال الأول أن يكون الراوي روى بالمعنى يكون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة العشاء والراوي روى بالمعنى فقط صلاة العتمة أو أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في بعض الأحيان يكون مقصود إيه لا تغلب الناس من العرب يعني لا تجعلوا إيه التسمية الغالبة لصلاة العشاء صلاة الإيه
do not let the language of the nomads overcome your language. It is called the prayer of Aisha because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called in
this holy book. The not the prayer of darkness. Do not call it the prayer of darkness
or the prayer of darkness.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هذه صلاة المغرب.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told his companions do not let the language of the nomads overcome your language.
وهذا أيضا يستفاد منه يعني أهمية المحافظة على الأسماء الشرعية المصطلحات يعني القرآنية والمصطلحات يعني التي وردت في السنة في التسميات وكذا هذا يعني أمر مهم نبه عليه يعني في السنة أحيانا بعض الناس
It is not preferred to change. Like Aisha prayer has a name. Aisha.
يستعمل إيه أسماء القرآن المسميات الشرعية لها أسماء في القرآن والسنة.
When it comes with the name of Quran, usually the Quran.
يسمونه إيه الكفاح والنضال.
Like some people call jihad. When you talk about jihad. Some people call it struggling. Some people call it whatever. No, its name is jihad. Call it jihad because I don't mean linguistically. I don't mean in Arabic or English. Even if it is in English, call it struggle. Call it struggle only. Do not come with a different meaning. Do not come and call it fighting. It's called struggle. So call it struggle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it in his book struggle. So call it struggle. When you talk about it in the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it jihad, do not call it kifah. Jihad means fighting. And kifah means struggling. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it jihad. Do not call it something else. Like
الصدقة,
for example. صدقة is charity. Charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it in the Holy Quran صدقة or charity. Do not come and call it donation or تبرع. 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 I know what it means تبرع in Arabic. تبرع in English means donation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it charity in his Holy Quran. So you talk about it in the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about it because he has given it a name. So use the same name. Do not use a different name. يقبل
التوبة عن عباده ويأخذ الصدقات. سبحانه وتعالى مثلا
الله سبحانه وتعالى said he who
كذلك الآيات
الله سبحانه وتعالى is that who accepts the repentance from his slaves and accepts the charity charity so Allah سبحانه وتعالى called it charity in his Holy Quran so do not come and call it donation
يعني ليس معنى هذا من التسميات الأخرى حرام
it doesn't mean that it's haram it is not haram
الأولى بالمسلم أن يحافظ على التسميات الشرعية
the best is to keep
لا يحب أن الأعراب
legal شريعة names the names
في القرآن that are mentioned in the Holy Quran
so we are saying that to make the point that that hadith here in which the Prophet ﷺ told the companions do not let the language of the Prophet overcome your language he didn't mean the language
أبو رافع في الحديث الذي في البخاري ومسلم
no. He meant
صليت مع أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه صلاة العتمة أو قال صلاة العشاء.
صلاة العشاء.
فقرأ إذا السماء انشقت فسجد
فيه.
فقلت يا أبا هريرة ما هذه السجدة؟ فقال سجدت فيها خلف أبي القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلا أزال أسجدها حتى ألقاه. إذن إيه هذا الحديث في الصحيحين؟
So that hadith here, Abu Huraira
said,
Abu Huraira was praying as an imam, and he recited Surah Al-Shitar, and then that was inside the prayer, and then he prostrated when it came to the prostration of recitation. So when they asked him about it, he said, I saw the Prophet doing it, and I will still do it until I meet him.
طيب قال وروى الحاكم وصححه على شرط الشيخين عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سجد في الركعة الأولى من صلاة
الظهر فرأى أصحابه أن his companions were of the opinion that he had recited Surah As-Sajda.
بغرض الحفظ أو في مجلس تعليم أو كذا وكرر آية السجدة.
So here the story, the rule is, if you are in a session like our session right now, our lecture right now that we are sitting in, suppose the Sheikh is reciting Quran and he came across a position in his recitation that has prostration, should we, and he kept repeating that over and over and over. What should we do? Should we do the prostration over and over and over and over again? Or what should we do exactly? Some of the scholars said that you would do it only the first time and that's it, that's enough. Some said you would do it at the last time after he finished all the repetitions. Some said, no, you should do it every time he recites it because the reason is being the cause is being reintroduced.
So
you can do it in the beginning, at the end of the repetitions, or keep doing it through all the repetitions. It depends on what you want to do.
This
is the choice.
Yeah.
The majority here say that the session is to be performed right after the recital or hearing of the verse. Delaying such a sajda does not make it or give it its effect.
So
you still can do it, but
في آخر النهار إنه قرأ آية سجدة في أول النهار أو كذا خلاص يبقى فاصل طويل.
You still can do it, but if like there is a very long time that separates the time in which you hear it and the time that you remember it, then that's it, no problem. Do not do it. Like for example, you listen to آية سجدة or سجدة recitation or سجدة at the beginning of the day, and then by the end of the day you remember that doesn't mean that you should go for it.
أسر عن جماعة من السلف من الصحابة والتابعين أنهم قالوا
some followers and scholars said that you should prostrate if you listen, not hear. There's a difference between the listener and the one who hears. The one who listens is someone who keeps trying to listen, and he is listening because he is interested in what he is listening to. But the one who hears just hears because spontaneously it came into his ears. So if you are crossing by, passing by, and you found someone reciting Quran and you heard a recitation that includes prostration, according to these people, do not prostrate unless you are sitting with him and listening to what he is reciting intentionally. In that case, if you are listening to him, so prostrate. This is only the opinion of these group of followers or scholars.
طيب هذا ما يتعلق بسجود التلاوة.
That's all about the prostration of recitation. Now we come to a nice chapter, which is about سجود الشكر. The prostration of thankfulness to Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The majority of the scholars say that it is preferred to make prostrations of thankfulness
جاء في الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أتاه أمر or يسره أو يشرب
bounty خر or rescued from some trial. Abu Bakr reports that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم received something which pleased him or some glad tidings, he would make a sajda in thanks to Allah.
تجدد للإنسان نعمة تسره أو دفعة عنه نقمة.
You can consider it a prophetic kind of attitude or manner. Look, the Prophet ﷺ used to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever there's something that is pleasing him, he would go for prostration. And so the companion, Al-Bayhaqi, records that when when he wrote to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messenger of Allah informing him that Hamadan, and Hamadan is the name of a tribe, had embraced Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrated thankfully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prostrated. And when he raised his head, he said, peace be upon Hamadan. look at the manner of a prophet.
أسلمت قبيلة كبيرة من قبائل اليمن عن آخره.
Apocalyptic.
فكتب عليه رضي الله عنه. Prophetic attitude. أرسل كتابا من اليمن.
No one has this attitude except the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يبشره بإسلام همدان.
The story is.
خرت جدا.
The story is Ali ibn Abi Talib went to this tribe and he introduced Islam to them, and the whole tribe embraced Islam. So when Ali ibn Abi Talib wrote a letter to the Prophet and sent him that letter, when the Prophet came to know the news, he was very much happy and pleased because all these people embraced Islam. And he prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of the tribe is Hamdan. Hamdan. Some people call it Hamazan. But it is Hamdan.
Hamdan.
So when they embraced Islam, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking him for his greatness.
طيب قال وعن عبد الرحمن بن عوف
and also عبد الرحمن بن عوف
صلى الله عليه وسلم
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went out once and عبد الرحمن بن عوف followed him until he entered
فسجد فأطال السجود
of a palm tree and he prostrated. His prostration was so long that عبد الرحمن بن عوف feared that Allah has taken his soul.
So عبد الرحمن came to
look at him
and he raised his head
and said, "What's wrong, Abdul Rahman?"
فقال إن جبريل عليه السلام قال لي ألا أبشرك
جبريل
عز وجل يقول لك
كم من صلى عليه
صليت عليه ومن سلم عليه سلمت عليه
فسجدت لله عز وجل وأسلوت هم. Therefore, I prostrate to Allah in thanks.
ثابتان عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث إسلام همدان وسجوده صلى الله عليه وسلم الشكر لله تعالى. أن حديث عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج قال عبد الرحمن بن عوف فاتبعته. كان هذا يحصل كثيرا من الصحابة رضي الله عنه إذا رأوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خارجا من بيته يعني ماشيا في الطريق يتبعون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتشرفون بمرافقته صلى الله عليه وسلم في الطريق يسألونه يتعلمون منه شيئا ويخدمونه صلى الله عليه وسلم. هكذا كان أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه كان إذا وجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خارجا من بيته يتبعه ويتعلم منه ويخدمه صلى الله عليه وسلم في الطريق وكذا. إذا كان خرج أحيانا يكون خرج لقضاء يعني حاجته وكذا في الخلاء وأحيانا يكون خروجه صلى الله عليه وسلم لشراء شيء من السوق أو كذا كانوا يتبعون
صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهنا
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج ذات يوم فتبعه عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه حتى دخل نخلا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يشعر باتباع عبد الرحمن بن عوف له فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نخلا أرض فيها نخل ومدينة كثيرة فيها النخل فسجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خر ساجد فأطال السجود. قال عبد الرحمن حتى خفت أن يكون الله قد توفاه
طول السجود صلى الله عليه وسلم to the extent that عبد الرحمن بن عوف
أنظر فرفع رأسه فقال ما لك يا عبد الرحمن فذكرت ذلك
so and خشي and raised his head
أن يكون
so
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
what's wrong عبد الرحمن
فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن جبريل عليه السلام قال لي ألا أبشرك إن الله عز وجل يقول لك من صلى عليك
جبريل or جبريل or جبريل came to me and told me shall I not give you glad tidings? Allah says to you, whoever prays upon you, I pray upon him. Whoever salutes you, I salute him. Therefore, I prostrate to Allah in
thanks. عليه بها
how lovely that kind of a manner is.
الله سبحانه وتعالى قال لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى عليك صلاة صليت عليه بها عشرة.
والصلاة
من الله سبحانه وتعالى
pray upon you, I pray upon him 10 times. What does it mean that Allah pray upon the Prophet or pray upon a slave? When Allah prays upon a slave, it doesn't mean pray. It means praise to him. Praise to him. He praises you in the highest community over there in the heaven. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions you over there and praises you over there, he praises you among the angels, which is the highest community over there. And he does that 10 times when you do it on
طيب قال وروى أيضا الحاكم ورواه أيضا الحاكم وقال صحيح على شرط الشيخين ولا أعلم في سجدة الشكر أصح من هذا. طيب قال وروى البخاري
أن البخاري recorded that كعب بن مالك made سجدة when he received the news that Allah had accepted his repentance.
البخاري روى أن كعب بن مالك سجد
كعب بن مالك
لما جاءته البشرى بتوبة الله عليه. كعب بن مالك رضي الله عنه وكان أحد الثلاثة الذين تخلفوا عن غزوة تبوك غزوة تبوك مع كونه رضي الله عنه
between the Muslims and the disbelievers and all the Muslims went except for three persons except for three companions
يعني
except for three companions.
أفضل إيه حالة وصحة ومال وكذا منه في هذا الوقت ولكن إيه يعني
كعب بن مالك was one of them. And these three companions, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was angry on them.
أنه تخلف عن غزوة تبوك وشغل يعني
very much sad. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was angry at them and Allah subhanahu wa taala was angry at them and they kept praying and supplicating to Allah and supplicating to Allah so that Allah subhanahu wa taala would accept their repentance and they showed very much sadness and they showed that they are really sad and they were clearly from their heart sad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance, as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance, he reported that to his prophet and his prophet, he told his prophet and his prophet reported that to them. Then they were very much happy at that and Ka'b ibn Malik prostrated thankfully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah They did not go to that battle without an
excuse. Without an excuse.
So they came to the Prophet and they told him that they didn't have an excuse and they just didn't go to the battle. And they asked the Prophet to seek forgiveness from Allah to them and forgive them.
So the Prophet did not.
And he left them alone for 50 nights.
وبعد تمام 50 ليلة أنزل الله سبحانه وتعالى آيات فيها قبول توبة هؤلاء رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. فقال الله عز وجل لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار إلى قوله عز وجل وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا
أن
تاب الله سبحانه وتعالى عليهم وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم وظنوا ألا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا إن الله هو التواب الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وطبعا مسألة العاصي هذه يعني مرجع فيها إلى الاجتهاد والموازنة بين المصالح والمفاسد. يعني كثير من العصاة كانت معصيين أعظم وأكبر من معصية هؤلاء الصحابة الثلاثة الصادقين.
Some of the baddies are much even higher than that.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was not leaving them alone like that or keeping away from them like that. That is some kind of an attitude that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do. Or used to follow. These three used to be very truthful. So the Prophet wanted to raise them up and wanted to purify them. So to do that, he left them alone. And also, one thing more, he wanted that he wanted to prove the fact that whoever leaves the fighting or deserts the fighting without an excuse should be treated like that. He should be left alone and not even be talked to.
وينتفع بها ولا يخشى عليه ضرر منها فحينئذ يكون الهجر أفضل.
And also listen to this. He is the prophet. He knows very well what he was doing. he knew that these were truthful people, and if he left them without talking to them for some time, they will try to repent and they will be very, very much sorry, and they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their forgiveness. So he did that, and he knew what he was doing.
تخفيفا للضرر. وكذلك أيضا إذا كان الهاجر أيضا يختلف اختلاف حال الهاجر وحال المهجور. أيضا مدى تأثير الهاجر المهجور. يعني ممكن واحد من الناس مثلا إذا هجر العاصي لا يأبه له. والله سواء.
It depends on the one who is deserted, because sometimes when you desert someone trying to raise him up, trying to raise him up with some good manners, it would give him some adverse, it would make him go to an adverse effect, it would make some kind of adverse effect on him. It depends on who you are deserting. If you are deserting someone who is not supposed to be deserted, and if you desert him, there will be harm on him, and he will turn around and be a bad person, so you better not desert him. So it is a kind of a balance, it's a trade-off that you should try to reach an equilibrium on. The Prophet knew what he was doing. When he deserted these three persons, he knew that these three persons are very truthful, they are men enough that they are going to try to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and confess what they did and know that what they did was very wrong, and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and behave like men. So he deserted them intentionally.
يريد أن يسارع بالتبشير. هذا في استحباب التبشير ومسارعة بالتبشير. قال يا كعب أبشر.
And when they received the news for the repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them, one of them ran into their house and into the place in which they were living, and went over the roof, and he said, come to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave us. So after this, they prostrated to Allah thankfully.
عَلِيًّا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ سَجَدَ حِينَ وَجَدَ ذَفُدَيَّ في قتل الخوارج. وهذا إيه حديث صحيح أيضا صححه.
It was also narrated that Ali performed Ali ibn Abi Talib performed the sajda when he heard the news that
يعني حدث
ذو الفديه. And ذو الفديه is
عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ضربوا فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بخروج الخوارج وقتال الخوارج.
ذو الفديه is a tribe of the Khawarij was killed.
فيهم يعني ذو الفديه.
ذو الفدية actually is a man
from الخوارج.
Is a man from الخوارج.
يعني مكان التئام يعني الزراع وكذا يعني كانوا يعني يشبه الثدي أو شيء.
And why did they call him ذو الفدية؟
كذا يلقب بهذا اللقب.
The word
ثدي. قال لعلي رضي الله عنه.
The Arabic word ثدي in English means breast.
حدثه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخوارج.
So they called that man the breast man because his arm was cut. And the place in which his arm was cut, there used to be lying down a piece of meat that mimics or looks like the breast. So they called him the breast man. So that man used to be a very bad man. He was an hypocrite, and he was a very bad man. He was a very bad man, and he used to be harmful to Muslims. So when he was killed, Ali ibn Abi Talib prostrated to Allah thankfully that that man was killed.
فقال تمسوا يعني ما كذبت ولا كذبت يعني لا ما كذبت عليكم ولا كذبت وما كذبني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قال لي هذا. التمسوا ثلاث مرات ثم بعد المرة الثالثة وجدوه يعني قد قتل ويعني سقط في حفرة أو بئر أو كذا فاستخرجوه منها وإذا فيه هذه الصفة التي وصفها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فخر علي رضي الله عنه ساجدا.
In fact, that man had that kind of a picture of a piece of meat lying from his cut arm.
قال وذكر سعيد بن منصور أن أبا بكر
رضي الله عنه
سجد حين جاء قتل مسيلم
among you, and that man is an hypocrite. So when that man was killed in the time or in the age of Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he was a ruler, Ali ibn Abi Talib went down prostrating, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Also
was mentioned that Abu Bakr made the sajda thankfulness when the Musaylama al-Kazzab was killed. And Musaylama is the name of a big liar and a
hypocrite. His name was Musaylama. قال في فتح العلام
the prostration of thankfulness is bound by the same requirements as the prostration in prayer. While some disagree that it is not a prayer, the author of فتح العلام remarks that this latter opinion is closer to being correct. الشوكاني said that there is nothing in that hadith or in the hadith to prove that the ablution and purity of the clothes and place are required for the thankfulness sajda.
يعني بالنسبة لمسألة سجود الشكر الصحيح يعني كما إيه ذكر أنه لا يشترط لسجود الشكر شيء من شروط الصلاة لا يشترط.
So the correct thing here is to say that for the thankfulness sajda it is not required to be on wudu and it's not required to be in the same conditions of prayer because that can come to you at any time because we hear that whenever these companions used to hear the news they go down for prostration straightforward that does not mean that they were always maintaining wudu. Many of the followers when they heard that Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was killed they went down prostrating so the wudu or the ablution is not a condition for prostrating for thankfulness and as soon as you hear the news as soon as you listen to good news you go down for prostration in your place. So there is no harm, it is not bad if you prostrate in your place without wudu, thanking Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala.
Also the woman can do that prostration thankfully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever she hears good news, even if she was not wearing something that covered her hair.
قال الإمام يحيى ولا يسجد للشكر في الصلاة قولا واحدا إذ ليس من توابعها.
But there is one thing here that Imam Yahya said that one is not to make the prostration of thankfulness during the prayer as it is not part of the prayer. If you were in a prayer and it came to your ears that there is something good that happened, delay the prostration for thankfulness until after you pray. Now we come to an end about this. And if there are any questions, please go ahead and ask them.
Here
the brother is asking two questions. First question is there an alternative for the prostration of recitation? Like if you are not in a place in which you can do the prostration of recitation, can you do any kind of like a supplication that could be an alternative for that? Sheikh says, I do not know of any.
The second question is,
if the imam in the audible prayer comes across a sajda verse and this verse is the last verse in the surah, should he go down for prostration and then when he comes up should he recite one more verse or what exactly should he do? If the verse of sajda is the last one in the surah, he can go down for the prostration and when he comes up he can go down for the ruku'ah and he is not supposed to recite one more verse. It is
ثم يكبر ويرفع.
It is he just can go down for prostration and then do takbir and go up again and then go down for ركوع.
ثم يكبر للركوع. نعم. كيفية سجود الشكر
How do we thank for thankfulness? How do we prostrate for thankfulness? Sheikh says it is only one sajda. one prostration and there is no taslim after it. It is exactly the same prostration you do in anything, but it is only one prostration and you do not do any taslim after it. You do not say salam alaikum rahmatullah, salam alaikum rahmatullah. No, you just do the prostration and that's it.
سجدة واحدة فقط وليس بعدها يعني لا تشهد ولا سلام ولا أي شيء. سجود التلاوة كذلك يكون سجدة واحدة فقط. سجود الشكر.
The question here for again the thankfulness prostration. Do you prostrate in the same position in which you are? Like
التلاوة هذه أيضا هي فائدة.
Any position in which you are, should you go down for prostration? Three, four, Sheikh says yes.
And
for recitation prostration, it was not narrated that you should specifically stand up and then do it. But it was only narrated that Aisha used to do it. Whenever there is recitation prostration, she used to stand up all the way and then go down for prostration. Does it mean that we should take this as an evidence or not? It is not necessarily. You can do this or not. It depends on what you want to do. If you want to stand up and do it from a standing position, that's okay. If you want to do it from your current position, if you are sitting or whatever, you can still do it.
نعم. أيوة. عن سؤالا في مصطلح الحديث يعني بعض المصطلحات التي تتكرر في الكتاب أو كذا كلمة على شرط البخاري ما المقصود
here,
بشرط البخاري؟
Here the brother is
يعني asking about بشرط البخاري أن يكون هذا
in the context of صحيح الحديث the science of the hadith. Here when we say that this hadith is on the condition of Al Bukhari. Is in the condition of al-Bukhari. What does that mean? It means that the chain of narrating that hadith, the chain of the narration of that hadith is found on the book of al-Bukhari. So if you open the book of al-Bukhari, you find that hadith with that narration that was mentioned here, because this is on the book of al-Bukhari. So when we say it is on condition of al-Bukhari, it means it is that the chain of that hadith is according to al-Bukhari.
المصطلح في كتاب المستدرك للإمام الحاكم لأن سبب هذا الكتاب أن الإمام الحاكم النيسابوري رحمه الله وهو من الحفاظ الكبار ألف كتابا سماه المستدرك روى فيه 6000 حديث
الإمام الحاكم
البخاري ومسلم ولم يخرج الجاهل
بنفس 6000 حديث
ومسلم ولم يرويها البخاري ولا مسلم فروى 6000 حديث
narrated 6,000 hadith.
6,000
hadith. And these hadiths were on the condition of al-Bukhari and Muslim. What does it mean on the condition of al-Bukhari and Muslim? That means that they were narrated on the books of al-Bukhari and Muslim with these chains that we are mentioning here.
So هو يعني ظن أنها على شرط البخاري ومسلم لكن وقع في أخطاء كثيرة.
But الحاكم just this is a snippet here. الحاكم went into many mistakes or fell into many mistakes. Many of his hadiths were not mentioned in البخاري ومسلم.
ونظر في أساميها فوجد منها يعني نحو يعني 3/4 الكتاب أحاديث صحيحة أو حسنة وربع الكتاب حوالي 1500
Al-Hafiz followed his or traced his book and he found that quarter of his book are weekly chain hadith.
Alhamdulillah.
So when we say on the condition of al-Bukhari, that means that the chain of that hadith is mentioned in the book of al-Bukhari in that way.
عليه السلام يقول إنه سر يعني لمعرفته أن داود عليه السلام لم يسجد بسبب القصة الإسرائيلية أنه أرسل القائد وكذا.
Brother says that he is
في الحقيقة يعني داود النبي عليه السلام يعني
افترى عليه داود did not prostrate for the reason that was mentioned in the books of the Christians and the Jews. Sheikh says that داود especially was a victim of them because they not only that story there were hundreds of stories that the Christians and Jews narrated about Dawood that they are all wrong. The Prophet Prophet Muhammad said that Dawood alayhi salam is one of the most worshippers of the Prophets. He is one very much good worshipper. And the Prophet said that the most beloved fasting of any people is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he used to fast one day and not fast the other. He used to fast every other day. And the most beloved Qiyam al-Layl or Tarawih prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the prayer of Dawood. He used to do Qiyam half of the night, sleep third of the night, and then do Qiyam sixth of the night. And he was never to turn his back in fights, in battles, in jihad, or in fighting for the sake of Allah. So Dawood was a very great prophet, a very great prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him a book, a holy book called Al-Zabur. Al-Zabur is one holy book similar to Torah, Bible, and Holy Quran. And it was also narrated, the Prophet ﷺ narrated that he was the best ever, he was one of the best, he was one of the best readers and narrators, readers and reciters for that Zabur book. And he used to recite it in a way very much soundful and nice, in a way that even the birds. To listen for his recitation, how lovely was his recitation. He was a struggler for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a fighter for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nothing of these things that were mentioned in the Torah or Bible attributed to him ever happened. No women, he did not go after women and that stuff like was mentioned in their books, and they deviated their books mentioning that was not mentioned in their books. Dawood is the father of Sulaiman. David is the father of Solomon, Prophet Sulaiman or Solomon as they call him. Prophet, alayhi salam, is a prophet sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are not only two kings, because in many stories of the people of the book, Christians and Jews, they only say that they are kings. No, they're not only kings, they're also prophets. Dawood, alayhi salam, killed Jalut, and Jalut used to be a bad person. But how did he kill him? With a stone or whatever? We don't know. We don't know. It could be one thing that was mentioned by the Israelis. And the Prophet ﷺ said, talk about the Israelis and there is no harm. So the Holy Quran, when the Holy Quran mentions the story to give you an example to do something good, to give you an example. Not just mentioning the story for the sake of the story. It mentions the story to give you an example. So how he killed Jalut, how Dawood killed Jalut, and Jalut used to be a bad person in that time, how Dawood killed him, nobody knows, and we don't care how to know. I mean, we don't care about that. Whatever was told in the Holy Quran, we take it. Whatever was not told, we do not neither reject it nor take it. The question, do we do takbir in the sujood or the prostration of thankfulness? Sheikh says no. Some questions in papers. What is the supplication in the recitation, in the prostration of recitation? Sheikh says, any supplication, you can say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times, or you can say the dua or the supplication that we have just mentioned, which says, I have prostrated my face to the one who created it, and brought forth its hearing and seeing by his might and power. Blessed be Allah, the best of creators. This used to be one of the supplications that the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate in some questions here about sujood al-sahw, or forgetfulness sujood will be the topic of our next lecture. So and you do the forgiveness sujood when you forget something in your prayer, and inshallah that will be the topic for our next lecture. So we'll postpone any or delay any questions till the next lecture is closed. This could be the topic of the next lecture. Okay, this is a nice question here. Some people say, I came to know this thing accidentally, coincidentally, or accidentally. Is it haram to say that? She says, no, it is not haram. Because some scholars said it is haram to say coincidentally or accidentally. Because nothing happens coincidentally or accidentally. Everything happens according to fate. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the fate for everything. And everything happened according to a fate. So is it haram to say coincidentally or accidentally? Because nothing in fact happens just accidentally or coincidentally. Everything that happens, happens by the willing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it haram to say so? Is it haram to say accidentally or coincidentally? Just says no, we don't have to tackle it from that point. If someone knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates everything and he controls everything and nothing happens except by his will, and he keeps that thing in his heart, so if that one says coincidentally or accidentally, just says it like that, so there is no problem about it, because it's a coincidence for you, but it's not a coincidence for the event. The event did not happen coincidentally. The event happened according to a fate. But it's just a coincidence for you. It happened as a coincidence with you. You came to know it, so it's a coincidence for you, or it's an accident for you. We call enough for tonight, brothers and sisters. And